When I found out I was going to be a parent, I immediately felt a lot of anxiety and worry. So I went on to BetterHelp to try to look for a therapist to help me with that.
My relationship with my family and with my boyfriend and with myself were suffering. I really needed help.
I was ruminating a lot. Really getting those thoughts out to a therapist and getting feedback was just life-changing.
If you're thinking of giving therapy a try, learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
And we're back with Keep It.
Hello.
Hi.
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 We have a new co-host today.
Yeah. Listen, Kara's dead.
Kara is lost in the catacombs.
She said, I'm not coming back. She's done.
She's standing on the Arc de Triomphe and screaming at people to read.
Yeah. Kara is still in Paris, in Paris, gay Paris, lesbian Perry,
mm-hmm.
queer Perry, trans Perry.
Yeah. All no. the Perrys, just over the hill Perry, over the rainbow Perry.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Anyway, we are joined by Riri Cheney today.
Hi, it's so nice to be here.
She's a writer and a very good friend of ours.
I am. Yeah. I'm so excited to actually be in here and get to yell back at you two when you're wrong rather than in my car. It's going to be great.
It should be therapeutic.
It's really going to work through some of our issues, I think.
You scammed your way onto the show.
You know what? Just have a plan, have a scam. That's what I was always taught.
Yes, yes. Eve Harrington.
Yes, exactly.
Up in here.
Here's what you need to know about Riri. She, I hope, still has a Meryl Streep phone case.
Yes, I have a series of Meryl Streep phone cases. I'm currently on a Into the Woods, All Lighting is My Friend. Let's just like not have a pore in our face, Meryl.
A deep blue lighting.
Mm-hmm.
Evanescence lighting, Meryl. Yes.
Exactly. I've never aged. I don't know age. I am forever, Meryl.
Well, so. You know, I've really been vibing with Ricky and the Flash, Meryl, lately. Yeah.
You think just three cornrows in a dream is where it's at.
Yeah.
I think anytime you have Meryl Streep and Audra McDonald in a scene, it's a good movie.
That is true.
Yeah.
Audra McDonald, nefarious in that movie.
Yes. Like, I done stole your man. Look how good my skirts are.
Yeah.
Like,
do you think Meryl should hop onto The Good Fight so she can battle with Audra again?
I mean, if she hopped on The Good Fight and her and Christine Baranski made... Like, that's the scammer movie I want to see.
Yeah. Also, I feel like Baranski is always, like, seventh billed in Meryl Streep movies, like the Mamma Mia movies. And now I would like Meryl to do a guest arc on the
Yeah,
like, it seems only right.
Support your fellow blonde white woman from the Upper East Side.
Was Meryl billed above her in Mamma Mia 2? Even though Meryl was she was a ghost for one scene.
I think Meryl collected those points and went to Greece for 2 weeks and had a good ass time.
I mean, we're talking about the Oscars today.
Yes.
I was really actually shocked that Meryl did not get a nom for that.
You know, I thought her riveting turn in Mary Poppins Returns.
Oh yes,
was you know she was dancing on the ceiling. She was.
Her name was Topsy, and she uttered the word Bottomsy at some point, which I believe is gay rights.
Yes.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
so versus for life. Versus for life.
To invoke a
meme. Which Meryl are you today, Lewis?
Oh me, always. Oh, always Kramer versus Kramer.
Fair.
Because I am deep. I am neutral colored. Like skirts and angry.
You're literally wearing a bright blue sweater right
now. But like
now.
Think about my insides. You know, it's a neutral. And I'm angry at Dustin Hoffman just period.
Mm-hmm,
so there you
mm-hmm,
go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, anyway.
Here we go.
Kara is Postcards from the Edge Meryl right now.
Mm-hmm.
And
Julia, she's in France.
She's Julia. You know she's learning how to make a bread, sort of bouillabaisse. It'll be great.
Fancy bread, bitch. Gotta read that blog now.
Yes, I'm ready. I'm always ready.
Anyway, we will be talking about the Oscars later. We will also be joined by Alyssa Mastromonaco, Crooked Face.
Yeah.
Crooked Fam.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone but Jon Favreau is welcome on the show.
That's right.
We will be right back. She came, she saw, She harassed Glenn Close on the red carpet.
Yeah.
Louis Vertel.
Oh, I did. Ooh. You're right.
It's beautiful.
Can I tell you something about doing red carpet reportage at the Oscars? You'll just be, whatever, reading an ad into the camera, and then you turn to your left, and Glenn Close is there, and you're just supposed to compose a quick poem to introduce her. Mm-hmm. It was very daunting.
You really seemed like you cared about Walmart.
I've got that vibe. Oh, please. I love a discount CD-ROM game.
You actually looked very lovely.
You looked
in your Ferragamo suit.
Indeed, indeed.
And what was it like talking to Glenn?
To be honest, every A-listy person I talk to, I mean, I guess it's the Oscars, they're primed for this, really brought it. Like, I have no opinions about Bradley Cooper as a celebrity, really, but then you talk to him and he was smart, insightful. I don't know. I was sort of impressed with everybody, really.
What's weird is I like Bradley Cooper a lot, and I feel like we haven't gotten any of the things I love about Bradley Cooper in the Oscar campaign.
Yeah.
Like, it's been very muted.
It's been all about Gaga, and he's been very muted because he's been trying to seem like, I'm serious director. Like, I remember an old interview where he was on a French radio show just talking
French.
In French.
Oh, yeah.
And he's so sexy doing it, and he speaks it fluently. And I'm like, where was that Bradley?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
why
right.
weren't you being fun? You know, we had the whole 99 people in a room thing from Gaga and her, you know, like giving you emotion at every single fucking award show while he got nothing.
Yeah.
And I was just like, maybe you should be fun instead of just sitting there.
It was actually a pleasure to bust his chops in a way. Like when we were standing around, it was right before everybody was walking into the theater. And I just said to him, you know, as people are still screaming for Gaga, I was like, is it weird that this is maybe the last night of your life? You'll just hear people yelling Yaz Gaga out of nowhere. And he laughed at that. And I could tell he realized at that moment, wow, this is the, you know, the last moment I'm little monster adjacent.
I think he wasn't particularly ready for the level of fandom of being adjacent to a pop star.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a totally different thing. You can star in lovely... Like, Jennifer Lawrence has those Hunger Games fans, or Amy Adams has us.
Yeah.
But to have, like, that...
The Enchanters.
Exactly. You know, the June bug stands.
The Doubters.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. But to have...
The season 5, episode 5 of Buffyers.
The sharp objects is life, people, which
sorry,
is where
episode
I'm at.
6 of season 5. Don't drag me.
Okay, moving
okay,
on.
Okay, sorry, internet, please drag him.
But you're right.
But
no,
it's, it was a totally different experience, and I think that really, the volume of his personality tried to account for that.
Yeah. If there had been a different actress, the campaign could have been like, oh, you know, like, I found this actress, and it was just like, we had a great time
exactly.
on set and everything. And the conversation weirdly would have been how skewed A Star Is Born was towards,
to him,
towards men. It would have been like, oh, wow, he found this actress. Mm-hmm. Like, he directed this movie. But because Gaga's so larger than life, it really just felt like, I probably to voters, too. Like, she just stepped on the set and did everything herself.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, hilariously, the choice before Gaga was Beyoncé. So he did himself a favor when it comes to the level of fandom at him. But it was...
Sis,
I love him.
Bradley Cooper would not have been ready for Beyoncé fans.
We are thick, and we are ready. It would have been... Nah, he wouldn't. He didn't have that. He didn't have that strength. He didn't have that.
The show itself, getting to the Oscars.
Yes, the Oscars.
It went hostless, and it was surprisingly
fun.
Good.
Well, what's interesting about, we kind of touched on this before, the thing about not having a host is you don't have to indulge any shtick. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to dial into a host trying something new. And while I, you know, have historically liked certain hosts, to not have a host takes nothing away from the thing you love about the Oscars.
We
and
went
I think
to
that was
Ross
proven.
For Less and harassed 20 people and asked them if they liked Green Book.
Oh, my God.
We didn't have a segment like that, thank God.
You know, right. And they always tend to go too long and all those things.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And it was perfect having Maya, Amy, and Tina up there.
My muses.
Yes.
Just we are the muses.
Doing some fun comedy, which is what we need. I will say, though, before we really get into the show, Josh Gondelman on Twitter brought up a very good point. The show relies so heavily on, like, a comedian to be the host or someone to open up the show, and it really doesn't respect comedy. the Oscars.
Yeah. It is.
You know, they don't nominate comedians. They don't really nominate comedies for awards.
No, you get like a nominee like Melissa McCarthy and Bridesmaids once every 5 years.
It's this solemn self-righteousness against comedy, which is really interesting because these are the comedians that are the most versatile. Like there's no instance where you see important dramatic actor goes, does comedy and kills it. They do fine or above expectation and we're like, good for you, cash that check. But the richness of talent that the comedy community gives to dramatic film is above and beyond, and it's just the lack of disrespect is kind of wild at this point.
Yeah, no, I mean, not to get into this conversation, but that's what makes Meryl so blue rare. Is that like if you throw her into a broad comedy like She-Devil, she still can. Whereas like something like Steve Carell moving outward to drama is a little bit more commonplace.
Yes, it's like a comedian has to do that because even notoriously the Coen brothers, who the Oscars love, they ignore the fuck out of them when they do a comedy.
Right, yeah. No, there's no Burn After Reading nomination. There's no...
Which is their best movie, Fight Me.
Interesting.
Internet.
I'm thinking about it.
I think it fits our times right now.
It's my favorite movie.
I think it fits our times right
now
perfectly.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, Brad Pitt in a bike short any day, all day.
Brad Pitt is amazing. Francis deserved an award for that movie.
Frances is one of those people who is actually good in movies you forget she's... Like, Moonrise Kingdom, I don't think of as a Frances McDormand movie, but she is fabulous in it. Yeah.
The show...
The Oscars.
Listen, let's just
we have
go
to
there.
Start
Green
there?
Book won.
Green Book won.
Best Picture.
Well, first of all, let's just say that before Green Book won, we had the unforgettable moment of the Best Actress category where they read all the nominees, and I said to the people around me, I really cannot handle watching Glenn lose if that's what happens. And I literally was thinking, 85% chance Glenn wins. And of course, no shade towards Olivia.
Who did you think was going to win?
She didn't win.
Gaga, then if it wasn't Glenn?
No, Olivia. I did think it was going to be. Because people love that performance.
It's an amazing performance.
And again, love her. I mean, Peep Show, Olivia Colman is a legend. More people should know her. I'm sorry we put her in that Murder on the Orient Express. That was so bad. But
I tried to watch that on Delta and passed out, woke up, and asked my friend Sam what happened. He was like, you don't want to know.
It's bad. Yeah. But Glenn was dressed to win.
In that Meryl Iron Lady gold.
It was exactly Meryl.
It was the same color.
Yes. And just like... It was Oscar gold. It wasn't any other gold. Yes. It wasn't champagne. It was Oscar gold.
Exactly.
And she was giving so many interviews. She was Instagramming her head off for days. And by the way, she has not Instagrammed since. All I know is about Glenn
Close.
She
was voguing behind Billy Porter.
Ooh, that head roll. That clip of that head roll. Please check it out.
Okay, let's take a moment to discuss that dress. So Billy Porter was dressed in this, like, kind of looked like a gown from The Favorite, like Jane Eyre. Jane O'Care.
Yes,
that's what it looked like.
Well, it was an homage to Hector Extravaganza, who recently
passed away.
And it was a Christian Siriano dress, and it was beautiful.
It was
Christian Siriano.
Looked like he was
cool
in a Molière play.
Molière is exactly right. You've got it right. Tartuffe on his Tartuffet. Yes. But
Glenn was
Glenn
ready.
Lost. And so I'm already, the gay men around me and I emitted a shriek that only Carly Rae Jepsen fans can hear.
Sure, sure, sure.
It was that pitch. And just Glenn's face when she lost was just so specific.
Hard.
And also, it's so painful for two reasons. One, she's in this fucking movie, The Wife, about, like, someone not getting their due. All right, the allegory's all there. Secondly, she once again lost to somebody who was there on her first nomination.
Mm.
Not that Olivia Colman isn't a badass or whatever, but truly, the nominations are stacking up like precarious Jenga blocks at this point with Glenn Close, who's now at 7 nominations, and just, we all love her.
It was wild, though, because Riri and I watched it together, and I erupted into excited screams.
Our whole party
I guess I had been rooting for Glenn in a sense of, like, yes, I would love for her to have an Oscar.
Exactly.
But I didn't like The Wife.
The Wife wasn't a good movie.
And The Favorite is so good. And it was just like, seeing Olivia win, it was so exciting to me. And that's the kind of upset you want at the Oscars.
And I think what was so... I mean, I love The Favorite. I think the story was amazing. I think those three women, all of them could top me at any point. The thing that was what was upsetting me about the idea of Glenn winning for this particular movie is that she has made a career out of vibrant, extraordinary performances, of being like loud and pulsing and amazing, and they're gonna award her, and she deserves an Oscar, no one's denying that, but they've decided that the role where she is silent the whole time is the time where now you're worthy. That kind of fucking pisses me off.
I understand that a little bit, though I will say in Dangerous Liaisons, she is giving a lot of contemptuous stares, etc., but she also gets way more one-liners in that
and
movie.
Even in those liaisons, stares she, move you.
The end, oh, the moment where she's just tearing shit apart, that is.
The original, just look yourself in the mirror, like, where are you, where, what have you done, and also I deserve this. She deserves that.
And also, by the way, what's crazy is you could argue in Dangerous Liaisons she invented the favorite, kind of, you know,
exactly,
the saucy period, yeah, drama with a lot of conniving qualities in it.
Okay, in 83 she was nominated Best Supporting Actress.
Correct.
World According to Garp.
Yep.
Jessica Lange won.
You're right. For should Tootsie?
Yes.
No. Okay. Well, mind you, I think Leslie Ann Warren should have won that year. So.
Okay. 84, The Big Chill.
Yeah, she lost to Linda Hunt. Wonderful performance. It's a little bit of a shticky win because she plays a male character, and I think that's what people were rooting for, but Linda Hunt was great.
85, The Natural. She lost to Peggy Ashcroft.
One of the great actresses of all time. I don't hate that either.
Yes, but I've never watched The Passage to India.
No, I love Judy Davis, though. Judy Davis also doesn't like her own performance in that movie, so.
Oh, well, T. here is the one that hits me the hardest.
Yeah.
88, Fatal Attraction. I fucking love Cher in Moonstruck.
No, me too.
She is transcendent.
Yeah.
But also, by the way, this—I want to say this is technically 87, but it's the ceremony in 88.
Yes.
No,
yes.
Cher
second,
was also,
second.
She was nominated for Silkwood.
Yeah.
88, though, with Dangerous Liaison, she loses to Jodie Foster in The Accused, which I find a very dated movie.
Doesn't hold up.
It just doesn't work, and I love Kelly McGillis.
Yeah.
Moving on. If we had just given Glenn the Oscar then
this would
few
not
years
be a
later,
yeah,
when Jodie won for Silence of the Lambs, that would have been even more of a triumph. I'm sorry, Jodie Foster doesn't need two Oscars.
She doesn't. Especially if she's just going to go up there and ramble on about how we should stay out of her business.
Right, yeah, and then make Maverick, which was fine.
Albert Nobbs versus The Iron Lady. Two bad movies.
I would say by a hair, Albert Nobbs is better than The Iron Lady.
Albert Nobbs, the movie, is better than The Iron Lady movie.
That was Viola's Oscar.
Yes. She was also up against Rooney Mara and Michelle Williams.
I'm never going to vote for Viola Davis getting an Oscar to play the maid. I just can't. I can't. It hurts me. The help hurt me, and I refuse.
I know. They gave it to Octavia, and her punishment was being in Green Book. Viola didn't win, and she got to be Widows and
Annalise Keating. She got to be TGIT.
Whereas Octavia ended up on Red Band Society.
Right.
Oof.
But by the way, there is merit to giving someone an Oscar for elevating a movie that is bad, as Meryl did with The Iron Lady.
Yeah. She made that the costuminess and the shtick of her a woman losing, getting older and losing her faculties, actually moving and actually feel grounded. And that is why she is my number one queen.
Yes.
But Albert Nobbs, that was also a really hard loss for Glenn because I feel... She's working so hard.
Yeah.
That was one of those where she's like, I put this together. I got my own packaging fee.
Right.
I don't understand.
She has a hookup at Men's Warehouse who got her the outfits for
exactly.
For
she
Albert
tailored
Nobbs.
It herself. Yeah. Like, she was doing it. It didn't come together. And we also weren't ready for that type of story to get, like, if it was today and she was doing that at her age and with her gravitas, there's no way she would have been denied it.
It's just the amount of people that Glenn has lost to. In her time.
It's a list.
Because I'm not even talking about the Oscars. She lost... she lost a Globe to Madonna.
Twice. She lost for 101 Dalmatians, Madonna won for Evita, and a songwriting for Albert Nobbs. Madonna won
she
for her...
She wrote a song for Albert Nobbs. That is how much
she's trying
wanted.
To get this Oscar, guys. We gotta give her
and
an Oscar.
The Oscars were like, nah.
What did Madonna win for?
Madonna won for a song called Masterpiece, which is... Not only among her worst songs, it is among the worst nouns I can think of. The worst lyrics.
I once made a video mashup of Madonna's Masterpiece to Hope Brady from Days of Our Lives being turned into Princess Gina, the art thief.
Oh, this happens a lot. This is actually very common gay behavior.
Yeah, anyway.
You poor people. What is going on?
So, by the way, so Glenn loses.
Glenn loses.
Otherwise, there were some great wins.
Yes.
Ruth E. Carter's win for costume design.
Her note cards matched her dress.
I cried.
It was beautiful.
I interviewed her before the ceremony, too. Yes. She is spectacular. It's worth noting that this year, the production design win for Black Panther and Ruth Carter for costumes are the first black women to win Oscars in non-acting categories since 1984 when Irene Cara won for Flashdance.
Yep.
And by the way, that's it. There are no more black female winners in non-acting categories.
We tripled it, y'all. Black Panther did it, everybody.
It's also the first time more than one black woman won an Oscar in a night.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So
yes. There
we go. And their work stands on its own merits.
Ruth got her start. She thanked Spike Lee.
Yeah.
So much of the night was about people thanking Spike Lee.
Yeah.
Just like a person who's been ignored by the Oscars. And it just shows you how much the black community does for each other.
And has been here.
And has been here.
It's not brand new.
Right. There was a very dumb article in the National Review for white people about how there were, like, no stars at this one. They were like, who knows who Regina King is? I was like, bitch, Regina King.
227 fans? Yeah.
Right.
Folk.
I'm like,
folk no.
America has grown up with Regina King, you know? And it's like, we've grown up with Samuel L. and Spike Lee. And Ruth talked about how Spike gave her start in school days in 88. And she has been there making movies and TV shows for decades. She was doing a hashtag like 28 Days of Costume Design during Black History Month on Twitter, just talking about things that she designed over the years. And she did the pilot for Seinfeld. And
Jesus.
She just talked about how it was so much fun going over to Jerry's apartment and just, like, looking through his clothes and, like, figuring out what would work for him.
These light-washed jeans.
I'm like, y'all white people and give her an award when she literally jumped off the costumes on the whitest show on TV.
I think it's
aside from Friends.
I'm picturing her looking at like a flannel and being like, this is a cereal eater's flannel. Yes.
It's amazing. I think there was a recent interview with her where she said she wanted to be remembered as a keeper of the culture, which is exactly true. She's been doing this impeccably for over 20 years. And
what is a costume designer but keeper of the culture.
Keeping of the culture and the studious nature of her approach to all of this and looking at the different fabrics and looking at the different tribes of Africa for this particular movie is astonishing. And girl, like, come through. Like, can you be my Stitch Fix? Like, let's do this.
Black women giving Marvel their first Oscar wins ever.
That is so wild.
You're welcome, Kevin Feige.
You are welcome, because Hannah Beechler was the woman who won for production design.
It's amazing.
First woman to win for best production design. First black woman.
Yeah.
Ruth Carter was up against Sandy Powell, who was nominated for two different movies, the costumes for Mary Poppins Returns and The Favorite. That was the third time that woman has been nominated twice in a year. She's like the period drama queen. She won for The Young Victoria. She won for The Aviator. And Shakespeare in Love. And she herself, in her last Oscar speech, was like, we need to reward more than just period dramas. And so I think even by her blessing, this is a triumph.
That's wonderful. People getting nominated twice in the same year is wild. Steven Soderbergh.
Right. And Traffic. Aaron Brockovich.
Yeah, and then they were like, and we're not going to nominate you again.
You've had your fill.
You're done.
We've seen enough saturated shots for a while, baby. You'll be back in 10 years.
But Magic Mike should have been nominated.
Sure. I mean, it was just like a piece, like a very important piece.
Gave me a piece.
Yeah, there you go. Slanging it.
Let me just say about Green Book now.
For the 99 and the 2000.
Oh,
guys, I really did not think it was going to win.
I didn't either.
What? You have belief in those people?
When Roma is getting that much attention,
yeah,
how could you vote against that? Again, there are a couple bizarre factors at play here. One is just the fact that Green Book, as I've said before, is not critically well-reviewed.
Mm-hmm.
There's the fact that the other movies in the category, which actually seem like black people contributed to them, especially if they were about, you know, race issues that are contemporary or civil rights or whatever. Yes. The fact that it lost to those is so strange. The fact that, like, Spike Lee had this come up year and that Black Klansman didn't get it is just such a bummer. I truly think the end of the night and that my girl Julia Roberts had to read it was very, very sad.
Because, listen, Julia Roberts was up there and I was like, Julia Roberts loves niggas. All right? It's she was waiting for Spike Lee to come up. She was waiting for someone from Black Panther to come up. She was like, if I can't get up on Denzel tonight, I'll get
chuffed
up on
to
his
bits.
Son.
Just be like real into it.
She was like, we could do Pelican Brief 2 where mm-hmm. I'm, you know, having a relationship with Denzel's
Pelican
son,
Brief
maybe.
2 scooped
and,
out.
And now they can actually be intimate on the screen. Because it's not
right.
the 90s.
Oh, that's right. Her smashing just, a young Denzel.
No, just like longing glances through phones.
Right. And that shot where there's an explosion and she actually didn't know in real life that they were going to explode something. And so her reaction is real. It's a really crazy shot. Yeah. But anyway, so that was very depressing. And however, we get to say that Spike Lee's an Oscar winner. And not only was he thanked several times by everybody throughout the night, he was dressed like a swank purple Mr. McFeely from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, you guys.
I love all his reactions during the show.
He is very, like, he was
ready to be camera
ready. Someone said he should be the new Jack Nicholson, put him front row at every Oscars, and just let him react.
Brilliant. Also, it's telling that he was dressed basically as a tribute to Prince, because he was giving you that level of gif-able side-eye mm-hmm. the whole night.
Yes. When Green Book won, that march of white people to the stage, was just like, it was just like, oh, here's such this like fun, diverse Oscars. And then it was like, here's a stark reminder that this is what Hollywood actually is.
Right.
You know, you can't make movies or anything without them. Mindy Kaling just inked like a overall deal with Warner Brothers. And she was like, I used to think hard work could get you anywhere. But she was like, then I realized, no, you need people to actually give you a chance to do something.
And those people are
those white men on stage.
Yeah. It was blindingly overwhelming to see that group walk up there. And it was also
a movie about race.
Yes.
Like made by all of them. And it's like,
and they were so there's
one of them, a 9/11 racist, who said that he saw Muslim people celebrating. The other one, Peter Farrelly, whose story came out about him flashing his penis.
Yeah,
didn't really come out. The story was an interview in like Playboy. In the 90s, because that was just a funny
anecdote.
It was
a lovely thing to have done.
Could do then. And it's just like
the family of Don Shirley not being involved with the production.
And Don Shirley not being thanked by the producers.
Yeah.
That was what was so infuriating to me about the whole March of Whites was
the fact that the screenwriter has his next movie is called That's Amore, about a man who works at a pizza shop and meets a woman named Patty Amore.
Look, I already saw that movie with Emma Roberts set in Canada. I know what's going to happen.
It's a white or simply irresistible.
What was so crazy to me was that they were so self-righteously proud of themselves for making themselves the center of a story about black struggle and perseverance. This is actually a story about Dr. Shirley and black people being amazing and culturally revolutionary in music and risking their lives to share that music with this country so that it can be stolen. But we could not have done this movie without Viggo Mortensen. That, him all aside, it is just, please stop congratulating yourselves for refusing to let black people be the center of their own stories.
Right.
It's insane.
It's like how I remember Peter Farrelly used to give interviews about how like they were doing a lot for, you know, the disabled community in a lot of their old comedies just because they had disabled characters in them. I'm like, they were always the butt of jokes or had like semen flying at them.
Right.
You know?
Well, also, this is what's so kind of confounding about this night is, as we've said, it's a triumph for diversity in certain ways. You know, we have multiple black women winning awards, whatever, but I feel like people are, shall we say, in the middle of the country, lumping in Green Book's win with this triumph, like that this is a part of the win for diversity. And it's like, no, think about it for a little bit longer. Who is that movie for, really? And who should it have been for? And who should have been involved? So I hope people remain critical about that.
And finally, I guess just like, at least Bohemian Rhapsody didn't win. Although, I think I have to unstand Rami Malek. We need to replace him on this board.
Oh, that's right.
First of all, he won and then splashed champagne all over the people engraving the Oscars. Did you see that video?
Ugh.
Of him like shaking it up. It was like, sorry if you're gonna get wet.
You know, by the way, that those are rented tuxes, too. Yeah. So they have to return that stuff anyway.
Yeah. You're going to return it back to Men's Warehouse and be like, so whoops. Rami Malek cop that's wet, and they'll be like, I don't give a fuck.
You're gonna say, we don't have a discount for that, sweetie.
I'm also confused how he fell.
Apparently fell off the stage as well, and
he was wearing the huge teeth, though. They bounced him back on stage.
Also, Bohemian Rhapsody won for editing, and that movie has the shittiest editing I have seen.
That clip you posted.
I posted a clip online of just a scene where it looked like nobody was on set at the same time. There were like 5,000.
They're like, all of these are going to be singles, and we're going to cut every 4 seconds. It's going to be great, guys. I got it.
And, you know, just like that movie, too, you know, with the whitewashing of the queerness of Freddie Mercury and really just the implication that being gay leads to AIDS.
Right.
Scene of his gayness, it's like, oh, you've got AIDS now. It's just like, it's just been a bad year for representation.
Also, it's,
or nuanced representation.
Yes.
It's just interesting that that won the editing Oscar when it is definitely the one Best Picture nominee that was too long. Definitely, you know?
Yeah.
Yes, and Roma was 900 hours, so you know Bohemian Rhapsody was long.
Oh, Roma.
Anyway.
Not set in Italy.
Final Oscar thoughts?
I'm deeply happy for Regina King, deeply happy for Ruth Carter. I continue to say, the Oscars are really, it's rewarding for those of us who like seeing our emotional responses to film reflected in acknowledgement in ceremony.
And after all the bullshit that we were worried was going to happen at the show,
yeah.
I honestly, Green Book aside, felt very fulfilled from these Oscars.
Yes.
As a movie fan.
And it was efficiently done. And I'm glad there was lots of pushback and we got all those technical categories back on the live telecast. So I thought there was a lot to celebrate there.
Imagine if Ruth had been given that award during a commercial break.
No joke.
It would have been a travesty. I think at the end of the day, they happened and it's over. And I'm sad. That's how I feel about it. But there was so much indecision running up to it, so I didn't really. There was no anticipation or happiness going into it. I'm just happy it wasn't a mess, and I'm ecstatic that more Black women are being acknowledged for their achievements and additions to culture. I just want to mention Rachel Weisz's red dress. She looked like a Parisian dominatrix, and those are all my thoughts.
Yeah. I was saying that Rachel Weisz always looks like she's thinking, "I'm pleased and quite moved."
Yes.
I am going to block the first person who starts talking about 2020 Oscar predictions,
because
I do not have time. But also, Oscars, if you want someone like The Rock or someone really famous to host, book them now.
Do it now,
because
guys.
A-list celebrities book shit 1-2 years in advance. Do it now. We'll be right back.
Keep It is brought to you by Hinge. Hinge is the dating app designed to be deleted.
If you're really good at it, that is. I've actually met several really good friends through Hinge. I've used it, I can't believe this, over a decade now. Woof, what a life I've had.
Well, you know what they've added within a decade of us being on Hinge is their new LGBTQIA+ prompts, which are designed to help queer daters better connect based on similarities, interests, and compatibility.
Hinge prompts helps you show off your full personality and connect with someone who appreciates you. Plus, these prompts were created in collaboration with GLAAD, so they are by the people, for the people. Some of the prompts are, the first time I knew I was gay was, I was literally in the act of being gay, like hooking up with somebody when I admitted it. Denial is strong and hard in the Catholic Midwest.
Mine was Tom Cruise's Vanity Fair cover, the shirtless one.
You just turned to an imaginary camera and said, I'm gay.
Yeah, I broke the fourth wall.
You're like Fleabag. Other prompts include, I feel proudest of who I am when, it feels affirming when others, blank, I connect to my community by, I wish I could tell the younger version of myself. I'm going to say, whenever I watch that in a Drag Race semifinal, when they're like, if I could talk to my younger self, I would say, I would be like, girl, get tighter clothes. I mean, what's going on with what you're wearing? You look like you're in the X Games. Other prompts include, my chosen family is the best at, and gender euphoria looks like. Download Hinge and show off your full self using their LGBTQIA+ prompts today. Then find someone worth deleting the app for.
Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of blackness from NPR and how I live my life every day.
Oh, I'm glad to bear witness to it.
Each of NPR's black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of a struggle.
It sounds like you at Coachella. I'm already tuned in. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories, Black truths.
Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcasts that center Black voices. It's NPR Noir. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices as very nuanced and Black as the country we reflect. Stories should never be about us without us.
Doesn't the Black experience sound like a 3-disc Prince album we never got? Someone check the vault, please. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get your podcasts.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
And we are back with famed Italian actress Daniela Rocca.
I've been called that before.
Alyssa Mastromonaco is here.
Ira. Hi.
I am so happy you're here.
I'm
on this
so happy,
show.
Guys. This is like, you know, thanks for accepting me.
We've stolen you from hysteria.
By hysteria. I'm now doing pop culture.
We need to get more tentacles from the crooked.
You guys will here. You'll see. I may be far better at this than talking about reproductive rights.
We brought you here to talk about the Kardashians, but I don't love them. So we're going to talk about you first.
Are you sure? Because I have a lot to say about the Kardashians.
I got a lot of takes.
Okay, good.
I got a lot of
takes.
First of all, I want to compliment you on your bag that you walked in with.
Thank you.
Your Grace Coddington Louis V.
Limited edition.
Limited edition. Just literally coming in here and making a statement. And
you
letting
guys,
us know that you belong on Keep It.
Here's the truth. I'm very high low, right? Like, I have my Louis Vuitton, but I also have my L.L. Bean bag, and I have some Hanes Her Way leggings in that L.L. Bean bag. So it's like, you never know what you're going to get.
It's like Henry IV, you know? You get the high drama and also Falstaff.
That's exactly right.
You're versatile. It's important to have different
That's
facets.
That's the thing. You can't just you can't
you
be
and
predictable.
Zendaya.
Yeah. Oh, sweet Lord, yeah.
Who was it that said that about her?
Juliana Rancic.
Yeah. I was about to say Juliana Hoff, but
no.
She's the blackface girl.
Right. Yes, Julianne Hough
is the blackface girl.
Suzanne
Juliana Rancic is...
She's married to Bill.
She's married to Bill the Apprentice.
Yes. Yes. The original. Yes.
Which takes us back to Trump.
Always
as
comes
always.
Back to him.
Always.
Sorry for that 6 degrees.
Yeah, sorry, that was really quick.
Before we get into that, also, when you walked in, we were talking about movies.
Yeah.
Because I got you to watch A Simple Favor.
Yeah.
How much do you love that movie?
Okay, so here's the thing. I was by myself. My husband was away, and I'm like, you know what? What am I gonna watch?
It's the only movie to watch.
And you were like, you guys, A Simple Favor is so underrated. And I watched it, and my mind blew apart. Didn't see it happening. Didn't see it coming. I've told everyone to watch it, and now I just check you for what I should be watching, what it should be in my queue.
I feel like I love the beginning of that movie and the end, but when they go through like Jean Smart, Linda Cardellini, and like the 80 suspects it takes to get back to Blake Lively or whatever,
but
I get a little
the
zane.
Best.
But that's the best.
Yeah.
Did you expect Jean Smart to be the Lady of the Lake? No, it was amazing.
I didn't expect that, but also it was kind of like a really elevated Lifetime movie.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. There was Cray, there was like Betrayal, there was the guy who was in Crazy Rich Asians, which I had watched the day before.
Henry
I was
Golden.
Like, yes,
ooh,
I was
what
very
a snack.
Confused. I was very confused. I was like, wait, am I stalking him?
There was the body extra for Blake Lively's back.
Yeah.
Yes.
That they were just like, this could would be if she had stopped going to Pilates for 2 days. It was assaulting to the eyes, but good for her. Get that check.
And she dressed like Scrooge McDuck throughout the movie.
Exactly.
There was Scrooge McDuck vibes.
Yeah.
It was like Candace Bushnell writing Hightower.
Finally, yes. Someone said it.
I'm glad someone really said it out loud. It was time.
Thank you.
But I just think that there should be more movies in that genre.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, it was a
escapist,
fun romp. Yeah.
It was super fun. And like Anna Kendrick, so
And it
diverse.
Felt like a movie, you know?
Yes.
No one has ever called Anna Kendrick, oh, so diverse. But yeah, she has aspects.
Only
yes.
in that level of, you know, yeah. that depth of her acting.
Sure.
Listen, Anna Kendrick knows all the lyrics to No Diggity. She is quite diverse.
That means she has a radio? I mean, okay.
Yeah, I watched the last 5 minutes of Pitch Perfect 3 once every other month, so I get it. I do.
Yeah. Anyway,
that
Simple
was
Favor
yeah.
was
Simple
great.
Favor.
Deserved,
Run,
deserved
don't
Oscars.
Walk.
Deserved Oscars. Anyway, what are we here to talk about?
The Kardashians. You know, I have to tell you, I was talking to Caroline, our producer, and she's like, would you be cool to talk about the Kardashians? And I was like, girl, I'm sorry. Do you even know me? I'm ready to go.
You know what? Riri.
I have so much to say.
Loves watching the Kardashians.
Yeah, it's my...
She hides it from
ooh,
us.
Yeah, it's my... One of my deeper shames. I just...
There is no shame in what makes you feel good.
Oh, it's shameful that I watch the show. It's shameful I've seen all episodes of Kourtney and Khloé Take Miami.
I did too.
Okay.
I saw
and you
all
know what?
Two episodes of Cocktails with Khloé.
I would watch.
That was on FYI.
Wait.
Okay, so
who
I
took Miami? Who took
so
Miami?
Kourtney and Khloé took Miami.
I would watch them put it back.
Okay.
With Arthur Brute?
Yes, right. Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
From San Diego. Yes.
Yeah, very good.
No, okay, here's the thing. With whatever happened this week with the Kardashians and somebody named Jordan, I don't
Jordan
really
Wood.
Understand.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys are actually going to lecture me. I want to
yeah.
know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Welcome
wow.
to this TED Talk.
All right, so there are multiple things going on with the Kardashians, and people have requested that we talk about this. So let's just get into it.
Yes.
There is... Tristan Thompson.
Trash.
Mm-hmm.
What gender
on a
is
rope. Trash
is
on a rope.
He is a male.
Okay.
He is a male. He is Canadian.
All right. Like Shawn Mendes.
This whole time?
But is he friends with Justin Trudeau?
Probably not.
If not, then
those are the only
pass.
Ones.
Okay.
And,
well,
and if he was, probably not after this.
I agree.
He is
great bad
a
on my Khloé.
Player, a basketball player on the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Okay.
And he was involved with Khloé Kardashian.
Until 8 days ago.
Well, and is her
baby daddy.
Yes.
To True, who's very cute.
My baby daddy.
True Thompson.
And now people are angry that...
So,
also, True Thompson sounds like a Nickelodeon show.
I mean...
Wait.
It sounds like True
no,
Jackson.
No, it sounds like...
True Jackson. True Jackson. That's
no,
what it is.
True Thompson sounds like Carmen Sandiego's good sidekick.
Who might be a squirrel. Like, it's just like...
or
come on,
mind.
True.
Something with a fluffy tail.
Exactly.
So, Tristan had an affair again...
Again.
I feel like he's always having affairs.
Yeah, he don't do this well. He stays getting caught on camera with hundreds of people around him. He doesn't care. He just be slanging it. And unfortunately, he got caught very wildly. I think he got kicked out or something.
Yes. So Jordan Woods is best friends with Kylie Jenner.
Okay.
It's a black woman.
Best friends. Like, best friends lives with her best friends since they were 12 or
yeah.
14.
Yeah. Lives with her, is in all of her Instagrams. There was even a Jordan line of Kylie's lip kits.
Yes. Yeah. Kylie by
die.
Jordan.
Yeah.
When you're in a certain proximity to Kylie Jenner, you have to have, like, a mascara
lip kit.
Line
yes.
or something.
Yes,
yes. Right. Yeah.
A eyebrow pencil, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. yeah. But
Caitlyn has a MAGA lip.
Right. A red cap for your lip.
So, allegedly, according to Hollywood Unlocked.
And TMZ. And also, people.com is reporting it, so I feel like this is bona fide news.
It's gone mainstream.
It's yep.
gone mainstream.
There was a party where Tristan and Jordan made everyone at the party give away their phones so that the party would be private. And then Jason Lee, the CEO of Hollywood Unlocked, posted an Instagram video saying, Tristan, you took everyone's phone, but you let them stay. Jordan came in. Y'all was smoking hookah. She was all up in your lap. You was all up over her touchy-feely, and you let the girl spend the night until 7 in the morning. Now, that happened. Yeah. That's a fact.
Love that climactic Agatha Christie lawyer speech. Wow. Okay. Well, okay, but it sounds to me like everyone still has lots of Chloe sympathy.
Yes, I mean, yes. Chloe commented on the video with the shouting emoji because she likes to pretend to be a black woman on the internet.
Exactly.
And she has also been faving tweets from fans supporting her and calling Tristan a sick man.
And then someone did post, these hoes ain't loyal in regards to the whole scandal. And Chloe's number one, Malika, not to be confused with her twin Khadija, because those are two humans that exist. replied, strong facts, which obviously is a two-source confirmation.
Okay, yeah.
That, but also, can I just tell you guys, like, the one thing, I actually wrote it down because it made me so sad. Chloe posted, the worst kind of pain is getting hurt by the person who you explained your pain to.
Wow.
Ooh.
Like, what?
These
like,
grandmas.
Don't end in a preposition.
Is that like when your doctor tries to murder you?
Yes.
What's ailing you today?
Which was,
I think it's my back. Well, I've got a knife.
Egg. Oh, wow. It's been I think there is still a lot of sympathy amongst her fans for Chloe. It's really hard when you're dilating and having your first child and your man gets caught on tape cheating on you, which is what happened last spring. And she was in Cleveland, of all places. It was a real tough situation.
And Kim almost didn't get there for the birth.
It was, yeah, she
was
had
like
a,
down to the wire.
She was on a video conference.
Video conference.
Oof, who knows
so
if she could
on the
have
private
made it.
Plane.
So exactly. Here's the thing, too. There are two things in this story that are interesting to me. One, I love when a gossip story breaks about the Kardashians and it hits TMZ, which clearly means Kris Jenner sent an email to Harvey
Momager
with all the pertinent info, but they never acknowledge it, and yet they're always faving tweets about it and commenting in Instagram, so you know it's true, but they're not publicly making a statement.
And I think the closest statement was someone asked why Chloe went out the night after. And Kim, with her, I don't know, she has a child named Chicago now, so I guess she can say boo and bag and secure in such words, said what? She's not supposed to make her money. And so that was the closest.
She's a single mom.
She's a single mom.
She's not going to turn down a paycheck. Like, they stay trying to pretend that Chloe is a black working mother.
It also, is wild.
I was going to applaud this story for being a Kardashian scandal that didn't involve Kim, because I'm not in the space of meeting Kim in my life.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, this has taken a dark turn.
They all step in. They can't help themselves, especially Kim.
The thing that makes me sad, so like, I mean, I've watched the Kardashians since they look like people, right? And so for my, it's like when Khloe met Lam.
Part of the series. I was a big fan of Scott Disick.
Sure. Yeah, in the beginning. Before he became like Lord Disick, which was like an alter ego, which didn't need to exist.
I'm still a fan of the Lord, honestly. Like, he's been through he's a white man who's gone through 12% of what most of the population's gone through.
My first problematic fave before Rami Malek
was Scott Disick.
Yes.
I think he at least sees through, you know, now that they're not just weaves, but they're wigs, you know, like they've really.
Scott Disick wouldn't work with a pedophile.
Yes.
May I suggest everybody elevate their problematic faves? Have you heard of like Madonna? I mean, like there's like lots of great iconic problematic face to have. Yes.
Okay.
I don't need her calling me the N-word in an Instagram caption.
She claims her son did it or something.
She has Debbie Mazar, okay? Yeah. She's fine. Yeah.
The other thing is, yes, we have sympathy for Chloe because obviously we're humans. She was cheated on. But also, I'm like, girl, every other week, you annoy the fuck out of me.
Yeah.
So, you know?
See, I don't have that much. So I felt very sad for her when
you know, her beloved Lam Lam when Lamar was like on the drugs and then he ended up at the Bunny Ranch and they all had to go save him. And I was like, oh, she's got a heart. She's going back. She's going to help him. But here's the thing.
Listen, then we know she, Chris sprinkled him with crack like a dealer in rent.
You want some fentanyl? She. But the problem is, it's like, how many times can you help someone who can't help themselves?
Yeah, right. She needs to go, like girl, sage her vagina, like get a crystal up in there. She needs to stop having these wayward penises towards her body.
Right, and she got a beautiful baby. Just be happy with the baby. Yeah. Send him packing. Don't wait for him to feel up Jordan at a party.
And I just don't, the sympathy does wane when the concept of surprise is so overwhelming. Like, you're still surprised, ma. You can't be. He's done this to you for the last 12 months. It's really, it's sad, but don't be simple.
But also, what's wrong with Jordan?
Ooh, what, and that's a whole cup of soup.
That baby girl, I swear, you do not get invited to Kim and Kanye's wedding and then break bad on Khloé that way.
So she, according to TMZ, has been begging Kylie for forgiveness, saying she was blackout drunk before she got to the party.
Girl said she got caught.
And doesn't remember how she got there or what happened there because she had so much to drink.
And also, just to be clear, so this is like a very soapy twist that this person who's like an ancillary character in their life is like a major component of
this. She is like Kylie's bag woman. You know, like was on Kylie's short-lived show, just always in the background, just a slightly melanated person to like, I guess,
a midwife or something.
Exactly. Yes. To like, justify like stealing black culture.
Like a sexy Farnsworth Bentley.
Yes, exactly. Right, I'm there.
But this girl has all of her money is based off of this friendship. She has a line with Kylie, a makeup line that at this point is just a whisper away from being a Ross bargain basement situation. And she also was a model, one of the original models for Khloé's Good American Denim line, which is where this gets really interesting. She was on the website as of last week, but she's been washed off the entire website.
Ooh.
And it doesn't matter where you work. You make out with your boss's man, you gon' get fired.
Right.
So fired.
Everyone in this situation acting brand new that like there were repercussions. Ma, that was your home. Kylie, it was your home.
Also, I realize I bring the perspective of a 43-year-old woman, but like, it's not like she was in love with Tristan. You know, you can't help who you fall in love with. If they had fallen in love, like maybe okay. She just hooked up nasty at a party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yes, she's 22 and
when the Kardashians take someone else's man, it's love.
It's always love.
Jordan did not fall in love.
She should have said she did.
Unacceptable.
And this isn't a take a man situation. This is just being messy at a party. Mm-hmm. And so that like to risk it, this is where you're going to risk it all.
I was annoyed that some people tried to celebrate it online. They were like, oh, she's doing like what Kylie did to like Black China. I'm like,
guys, can we have better standards?
Can we glow up without, you know, bed hopping like we're on Melrose Place?
Can we
least let's elevate to les liaisons.
But also, can we talk about how then one of my favorite shows, The Bachelor,
yes,
breaks bad so hard on Khloé?
So, last thing about the Kardashians, Mike Fleiss, executive producer of The Bachelorette, tweeted that after this Tristan stuff, that they were in talks with Khloé to be the next Bachelorette.
Mm-hmm.
And
guys,
the
eyebrow move I just made was so dastardly and upset.
It was dramatic.
The next Bachelorette.
But Kim responded, jumped in again on Twitter, this is not true. And Mike Fleiss is like, how would you know? All these conversations are supposed to be confidential anyway. And Kim posted a screenshot of her texting her mom, who responded, no, LOL. And Khloé, black woman emoji herself, responded, no, put some respect on my name. She said respect on my name in 2019.
She said,
let's take a knee.
Anyway,
let's take a prayer.
Mike Fleiss was like, well, all of our negotiations are confidential, so even if she was considering it, she couldn't say anyway. To which Khloé then quote tweeted it with, I'm not fucking clickbait right now. Stop or you will be hearing from my lawyers.
And
how
then,
insensitive.
But then he was all like, sorry, I'm just trying to help you find love. Like, clearly you need the help. And I'm like, whoa.
Point taken.
I mean, it's spiraled.
I mean, he is
not
wrong. Untrue, yes.
I'm wrong. But I don't know that, you know, that format would really suit her.
Well, I love the blind rage she felt that ABC Disney Corporation would have to help her find a man. It's like, girl, maybe they have a basic fireman architect from Missouri. Apparently you moved your whole life to Cleveland.
Ohio.
To be
What's
with
wrong
him.
With St. Louis?
Exactly. Come on. Like, take the love. They'll find you somebody who's 6'6 with a dick down to his knees. Believe in yourself. It's going to be all right.
Like, maybe you should be on Basketball Wise, girl.
Oh my.
Because you've been through multiple.
She goes state to state. Like, that's the thing.
Yes. No loyalty.
I want Chloe to love herself enough not to move.
Stay in Los Angeles.
Don't move. You have a nice house out there. You don't need to be going. She went to Texas for a couple years.
She did.
That is interesting because nobody could make me move. No. This is where I effing live.
Excuse me.
The iced coffee capital of bourgeois and apathetic. That's where I belong. Yes.
Alyssa, we have not even talked about your book.
Aww. You mean the book called So Here's the Thing, which we said five times today because
Here's the Thing. Notes on Growing Up, Getting Older, and Trusting Your Gut. Before you go, I just want to say how much I love this book cover.
Thank you.
Lewis was like the Lisa Loeb jumped out.
Indeed.
Okay, so that's a bit of a style inspo. You can't really tell, but I am wearing a Grateful Dead t-shirt, which made me feel true to myself. And I only asked them to shave my leg a little bit because it was like an unfortunate position I was
no,
in.
No, girl, own it, love it.
Okay,
it's dead.
But I want to be honest
Jamil
about
would
it.
Not
okay,
be happy.
And so, and look, it's like also you guys. I'm not a real pink person, but the pink's like it's
the
it's,
pink works it and it matches the glasses.
Yeah. I know.
The cover is a serve, and if you want to see the cover, you should buy the fucking book.
Please buy it. It'll make you laugh. It'll make you laugh. It's funny.
It is.
The hysteria.
Objectively.
You know what it's all about.
I mean, there's also a recommendation on the back cover from past Keep It co-host Aminatou South. So you got to
get
it.
Can I tell you, when she texted me when she was reading the book, I was like, girl, I've arrived. She's like, I feel like... You're like America's soulmate. Like, what? I was like, girl, I'm gonna cry. Stop it.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. It was the best, really. She's like, she said the words jumped off the page.
You know what?
I could not be more grateful to her. I hope she's listening.
You are welcome back on the show whenever you want.
Thank you.
You are the co-host I have always wanted.
Guys.
The sister. Everyone deserves.
Am I like your small white sidekick?
I don't know a better person.
Then you guys, please invite me back. This was so fun.
I think Ira may have been looking for an opportunity to do this Gale theater.
This Oprah recreation.
Can I be your Gale?
Sure.
I love Gale. Got me on Weight Watchers. I lost 18 pounds. I love her.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
All right.
Gale's a real one.
Well,
she is.
As long as I get to be Oprah. I love bread. We'll be right back.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You can live out your MasterChef dreams when you find a professional on Angie to tackle your dream kitchen remodel. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Visit Angie.com. You can do this when you Angie that.
All right, so...
Really?
Time has come.
We gotta...
For us to lip sync. for our legacy.
Or our lives.
I wish. Now we're going to talk about Jussie Smollett.
God.
This has been a never-ending story. I just talked about it on Love It or Leave It last week, and I feel like there's already been new developments.
The rollout of facts about this has been so particularly painful. It's like you get one new damning or dubious thing a day, and then you have to sit there and be like, but is that true? And who's telling me this? And just the layers of brain power you have to expend on it is annoying.
Also, the fact that there has been a rollout is the part that I can't stomach. It's like you're gonna drip, drip, drop a leak every day. There needs to be context. Like, why are we? I don't want to try this on Twitter. I don't care what people on Twitter have to say about this right now. It needs to be properly presented, and the fact that it's the Chicago Police Department being the messy bitch dropping this is, I just can't.
It's like watching a daytime drama, and it's like, here's a new cliffhanger at the end of each day. Are you going to watch tomorrow? And I don't want it. This is the worst way to report a story. It's the worst way for a police department to be handling it. Okay. We're going to get to that first. A rundown of new things that have been happening. So a week before the attack, Jussie received a threatening letter to Empire Production Studios, and it said, "You will die, black fag." Now, I had never seen this letter until like a few days ago.
Oh, but you can actually see it?
You could actually see it, Lewis. This letter looks like...
Is it cutouts, like, from the bodyguard?
It's cut out newspaper letters.
I'm out.
It looks like a prop from That Darn Cat. who sent this letter? And it's his name is written on it, on the envelope, in red letters that looks like either a child wrote it or someone wrote it with their left hand, and they're right-handed, and it's sent from MAGA.
How very Robert Durst of them.
Wow. Also, yeah, right, Robert Durst. Also,
there was a white powder inside, too, and it ended up just being, like, crushed Advil or Aleve or something.
Well, in the 0.0001% chance this is legit, I will couch this. It is real, and he didn't stage that. I will just say, I don't think that people who perpetrate crimes like that are such cliches. You know, they don't need, if they're that threatening, they don't need to use these sort of like movie tropes of being a terrorist to get their message across.
Right. But also on the flip side, if you were going to fake that,
why would you do that?
Yeah. Right.
The lunacy of it.
Right.
Anyway, the Chicago PD, as Riri said, ever the messy bitch, lives for drama.
Thirsty bitch.
When the Chicago superintendent, Eddie Johnson.
You mean Carl Winslow's twin brother?
a cop, just like Kamala. when...
I'm sorry. He looks exactly like Carl Winslow.
I'm sorry, Kamala. I would not vote for you because you're a cop. I'd vote for Carl Winslow.
Exactly. Yeah, Bring him back.
I'd vote for Bonkers, the bobcat who was a cop.
Hell, I'd vote for the second Aunt Harriet.
Ooh, yeah, second Aunt Harriet.
But not the second Aunt Viv.
Never. Oh, no.
Never second Aunt Viv.
Anyway, Eddie Johnson, in that speech that he gave after they charged Jussie.
Yeah,
his big press conference, like he was waiting for Clark Kent to run up there and get the news from him. He was talking about how it was obvious that Jussie sent this letter, et cetera, et cetera. They talked about a lot of things definitively. Mm-hmm. And now the FBI is like, wait, we don't actually know if he sent that letter, so you shouldn't be saying conclusively on TV that he did it.
I'm going to say, we have been using the word messy, but that is actually generous. This is, like, horrible.
I mean, it's the level... They're trying to establish...
Motive
and fact and evidence.
In the public opinion.
Yeah, before it actually is tried and actually is brought forward. And that is what is so enraging and why we do not trust this police department. And they're trying to make up for their years of malfeasance and manipulating evidence and brutality against this one man. We'll see. Let him be tried before you present every minute piece as if this is set in stone and is forever wrote. I can't. Fuck Carl.
Right, because it's one, does a disservice to all of us who keep getting this information that then maybe will turn out to be wrong the next day.
Yeah.
But it also is doing a very poor job for you when you're going to have to try this case because people aren't going to be on your side if you have continued to be messy like this, and they're just going to think you're once again
trying to go after a black man
in Chicago. And also, the burden of proof is on the police department.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, which is why maybe the superintendent shouldn't be getting flued out, all expenses is paid for, to New York to be on Good Morning America, where he could say there's more evidence against Jussie than the public knows. And he says, the symbolism of a noose is very offensive. The city of Chicago has this issue. The Chicago PD has this issue with racism and excessive force and all of that. And I'm acutely aware of that. But we didn't earn this particular incident. And I just refuse to let us have to take that shot if I have evidence to the contrary. I just want people to understand that's a damaging thing to do to a city and to a police department. So it's my responsibility to ensure that the record gets set straight.
I feel like the arc of justice does not bend towards protecting your own reputation.
Exactly.
Whatever the fuck that was.
Aren't we supposed to be going after the people who allegedly did this? You're protecting the name Chicago. This isn't like a merch branding issue.
Yeah.
They're handling it. I understand why it's personal. It is. It felt personal when we heard about the story, but just going to Good Morning America and waving to all the people outside and also saying, I'm setting the record straight, you should be keeping your mouth shut and actually doing an investigation.
Also, in what way, if Jussie did fake this hate crime, is this a personal
attack,
to the Chicago Police Department? Like, why does anyone think this individual doing something like that is besmirching the name of this department? It has nothing to do with it.
This case is so extraordinarily one of a kind.
Yes.
Like, you can't pretend like this is the kind of thing that happens that people do to, like, yeah, besmirch us. It's like, what? I've never seen anything like this in my life. A celebrity arranging something like it's completely unprecedented.
I don't go to, like, the LAPD and say, wow, you really should have caught Charles Manson.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are other people I need to have caught. But
right.
It is,
maybe don't beat out Rodney King.
Yeah. It is like the personal nature of it is pretty spectacular.
He seems personally offended, and he's like, I refuse to let us have to take that shot. And it's like, you've talked so much about the justice that victims of gun violence in Chicago need. Mm-hmm. Why are you spending your time and resources to fly to New York to be on a television program?
Yeah, is it possible that it was a gay black man who was the person who said that maybe you guys aren't doing your jobs? Whether or not he's a suspect now in the case anyway, did you take that personally, Winslow?
It seems like he did. Mm-hmm. And it just is wrapped up in our current era of everyone involved in a crime or any sort of news story wanting to blow themselves up and get more fame, you know?
Yeah.
Eddie Johnson is talking on the TV all the time, you know? And I just feel like in a year or so, are we going to see him trying to join, like, Trump's White House or something?
Celebrity Big Brother.
Right?
Oh, God.
It's just like,
you think you're kidding. Yeah,
no,
right.
I'm not. Yeah, none of us are kidding. It's like, where is this going to lead to for you is what I'm now thinking about, because you are making yourself
the story.
Part of the story.
Right.
Now.
Mm-hmm. Where you definitely were not a member before. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no matter.
You're not supposed to do that. I watched every episode of Rookie Blue.
I mean, no matter what happens in this case, whether or not Jussie is innocent or guilty, it's a sad situation. It's sad on all sides. And I think no one's addressing it in that manner. The minute all of these police leaks start happening, it became another thing to joke about on Twitter. But
and there's something to be said, too, that it's become sort of the go-to thing for people like Don Jr.
Mm-hmm.
to do when they're not masturbating, to tweet about Jussie doing all of this. And it's like they are obsessed with it. Riri and I have friends who write on Empire who deactivated their Twitter accounts because people are attacking them, like Lee Daniels himself was writing this storyline for Jussie to go and do in Chicago.
Right.
There's also, in other, speaking of other evidence, TMZ got documents that the claim that the $3,500 check that Jussie allegedly paid to his attackers was for a 5-week nutrition workout program and for a music video, Don't Go, that he was supposed to shoot and lose weight for.
And the texts between he and the attacker, the supposed attackers, are about his training regimen.
And so it's just like, yes, maybe he did also do this and that was a cover, but the way the Chicago PD talked about this check, none of that information was available.
The selective
before.
Leaking is jumping out.
And the salacious leaking.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's really, that's the thing, that it keeps getting more and more complicated, and this story is going to go on for a while, and who knows how it's going to land. But all of these, you know, MAGA tweeters and white folk who are really quick to be like, oh, I guess he was lying, those people were never going to believe him in the first place. We have to continue believing the victims of abuse, whether they are people of color or queer people, and everyone who's questioning, well, now this means, you know, I don't have to believe every black gay man who gets beat up. Boo, you weren't going to believe him in the first place, right. So I don't need to talk to you.
People asking, oh, this is going to affect how we think about other victims in the future. It's like, bitch,
you were looking
for
an excuse.
If that was on your mind, you were looking for an excuse.
And please find the quickest door out of here.
Right. It's like, don't act like the Jussie thing is an isolated incident, because we literally just went through people slandering Dr. Ford for testifying against Kavanaugh.
Yeah. Right.
So, you know, it's like, you don't believe victims. Don't pretend like Jussie is the reason why you all of a sudden don't want
Had an epiphany. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm sure we'll still be talking about this fucking story next week. We'll be right back. And we're back with our favorite segment of the week. As usual, it's Keep It.
Yay.
Riri, since you are the guest,
I'm so excited.
Why don't you go ahead with your Keep It first?
Thank you for this blessing. I'm very excited to be here. Ira touched on my Keep It for a little bit, but my Keep It is Twilight noted alumnus Rami Malek.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about him winning that Oscar he won. I mean, you take the dentures you get from Johnny Depp and you keep moving. I think mine is the video of him spraying the champagne amongst the press room. There is nothing more just specifically, basically, toxically masculine than thinking that people want you to spray champagne on them. Those people are working, okay? They are trying to engrave Oscars. There are camera equipment and mics. You're fucking up somebody's shot. Nobody wants that. I have been blackout at Marquee Day Club like the rest of us have. And even then, I didn't want somebody spraying
Not
champagne
Marquee
on
Day
me.
Club.
Yes, Marquee Day Club. Thank you very much. Nobody wants that. You're sticky and it's horrible. And I just think he needs to stop. Like, I hope he takes a break. I'm very excited for the Elton John musical to come out so he can, like, know how
many. Snack. Taron Egerton.
Just looking like a pocket. I want to just put him a pocket.
Joel Egerton, Taron Egerton, Gemma Arterton.
That's your trilogy. Sure. Yeah. So
Mr. Egerton,
exactly.
Who's going to take down Darkwing Duck.
Oh my God. So yeah, I mean,
also, by the way,
the
fact that he decided, like, to spray champagne as if it's particularly interesting that he won. It's like, somebody's going to win Best Actor.
Exactly. Like, you know? Sir, this isn't.
This is what happens when you win Best Actor. Yeah. Is it? I don't remember James Cagney doing that. Yeah. If he won an Oscar.
Ray Milland, he kept his champagne to himself.
James Cagney won an Oscar.
Yep, Yankee Doodle Dandy.
And also, please do not waste champagne that God gave us as an ambrosia. Respect it. Put some respect on her name. So that's my Keep It for the day.
As Khloe Kardashian said.
But that respect with a K, honey.
Respect.
Lord.
Respect. React. Act.
Can't wait for her beat poetry coming to you 2019.
A round of zip, zap, zap.
Oh, my God.
Lewis?
Keep it to the next few months of movies. Like, we keep thinking we're sick of Oscar movies because we've been talking about them for a few months. Okay, that's, like, somewhat justified.
What's coming up?
Guys, not much. First of all, again, I already lamented the fact that I had to learn the words Alita Battle Angel last week.
Ooh.
But I'm just saying, like, here's a couple of things. Tyler Perry's A Madea Family Funeral, which I believe is the 94th entry.
But
in the
she's
series.
Gonna die. Someone
this
told
is,
me this is
the
it.
End.
Okay, we'll move right along. You're saying this is important canon.
It's the final Madea film.
What a blessing, guys. Until it's finally over.
Until it's rebooted.
Until he comes back.
Until it's rebooted with
Madea, she done risen?
Marseille Martin.
Oh, Martin's poor little
be
baby.
She'll
oh
be played
God.
By a woman.
No, that girl has stacked her check. She's going to be all right.
But like March and April are specifically the times where certain people try dramas in the vein of like Zac Efron, in the vein of like
that DJ movie.
Yes. Where it's just people giving it their best shot, but it's like, man, you couldn't even get a September release or like a July release date. You
well,
know?
Captain Marvel's coming out, which I'm looking
that'll be
forward
good.
To.
I wonder if that'll
I just
be good.
Love Brie Larson.
I do love her. I love her in Room.
I don't know if I want to see her lead a temple. Marvel movie. I wish her well. I think she and Sam Jackson's shtick seems thick.
Yeah.
But Avengers 4 is coming out and I'm going to be fucking there, so I'm excited.
Yeah.
Oh, and of course, I mean, like, Black Panther was the superhero movie I could really watch and deal with last year. I just am not recovered from that yet, too.
Did you
so
even
just
see Aquaman?
No, imagine me sitting.
I haven't seen Aquaman.
With Nicole Kidman.
When I saw Thor Ragnarok with Kate in it, I was like, I regret this. I don't want to fucking see it.
But she was having a good time.
That movie was good.
She had like antlers and had her arms out, which
she
was great.
Didn't have to leave home. Right. She wore a latex bodysuit and she was having a good ass time. I'm about that.
So anyway,
all right.
Sorry for the next few months of movies, everybody.
My keep
What's
it.
What's your keep it, Ira?
My keep it is to people who do not like brunch.
Oh, yes.
That is somewhat common. I hear that a lot.
It's such a basic point of view, though.
First of all, like, Yashar Ali is always on Twitter talking about brunch is bad and how many towels you need.
Towel controversy.
And hated guac or whatever. Chill out. Some other woman was going on about it today. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe brunch is not for you. Someone was talking about how there's all these long waits, and you're splitting a check between 12 people. I'm like, bitch, who is having brunch with 12 people?
Yeah.
Who does that?
Also, Venmo is real.
I don't have 11 other people that I like well enough to endure at noon on a Sunday.
I don't go to bachelorette parties anymore, and I'm no longer a 22-year-old CAA assistant, so I
you
don't
go to 12. You should not be having weekly bachelorette
exactly.
parties.
Exactly.
When we have brunch, Riri,
yes.
it is black folks getting together.
It is melanated.
Queer folks getting together. Femmes.
Coconut oil.
Other people of color.
Trials.
It's just like people getting together when you've normally been in predominantly white spaces all week.
Or straight
you're just
spaces
like,
all week.
Kikiing, chilling, and having some good drinks. And people always say, oh, brunch is just drinking like cheap champagne.
I don't drink cheap champagne.
It's like I order the drink that I want. You know, I don't have to get the watered-down $5 mimosas. And we're not going to those restaurants.
Nicole Kidman and I prefer a Bellini, but I concur. I think I would say a lot of the shade towards brunch happens.
All she does is drink Bellinis and Aquaman.
Really?
No.
Shut up. I think people are shady towards the fact that you can make a lot of brunch food at home. But at the same time, I love like an omelet that looks like art. Sorry, it's
Who's
better.
Making a hollandaise? You have to go to brunch for hollandaise. And honestly,
I really, really tried to have a moment last year where I could make my own hollandaise sauce. And I was like, nah, bitch.
I look at that recipe every fortnight and I still haven't made it.
Also, how many people eat fucking salads all the time and rave about that? You can make salad at home.
And also, if your brunch
cook
isn't...
Cook that kale.
If your brunch isn't for you and your friends to gas each other up and give each other advice and tell you, you cute, you good, you're gonna make it, then those aren't the people you should be having brunch with. So, like, reassess your own goddamn life.
Right. We're not just, you know, making Sex and the City zingers.
No.
When we're at brunch, we're talking about career developments. We're giving each other advice on things that you might need to do
You need to stop
week.
Texting that man.
Yes.
It's not worth it.
What about your friends, quoth T-Boz?
Will they let you down?
That's what I'm
Will
saying.
Will they stand their ground at brunch?
Exactly.
Will they pay the bill and let you Venmo them later?
So they can get those points so they can upgrade their flight.
Yes. You know, let me get my Chase Sapphire points. Let me get my Delta Sky Miles. And also, another light keep it to every time I tweet about Venmo, cricket fans like to slither up into my mentions and say, we're using the Cash App. Cash App doesn't advertise on Keep It, so we're using Venmo.
Yay!
And that's our show.
Beautifully stated.
That is our show. Coming up on Friday, we have an exciting Keep It Brief where Lewis, Kara, and I talk to the one and only Casey Wilson.
A queen among us.
From the Bit Sesh podcast and many of your favorite TV shows, including Happy Endings and currently Black Monday.
Check out Black Monday, y'all.
About why smart people like us love reality shows.
There you go.
We talked about the Kardashians today. So we got to talk about Bravo this week, too. So listen to Keep It Brief on Friday.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.